Welcome to Dork. I'm Nick Moore, and I'm Nick Moore. Just me this week, and not for long. I'm just introducing this week's episode, which is a best of. I've been going back and listening to the early episodes of Dork. Now that we've hit the 150 mark, it made me a little nostalgic. So I went back and started re-listening to some of the early episodes and taking notes about some of my favorite parts. So here are some of my favorite moments from our first 10 episodes. And we're going to start with, naturally, the first episode, which opened something like this. Okay, so this is it. Welcome to Dork.
Yay!
Episode 1. The baseline.
Yes, special edition, episode 1.
Yeah, this is where we get to meet each other, because we don't have anything to talk about, and it's on.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, James. So you were telling me about Kentucky Jelly, which is it's KY, which makes sense now that you make fun of me for it, but...
Everything makes more sense after I make fun of you. That's the law of the universe.
Got you. No. So, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And, like, you know us from Red Stick?
Possibly.
And you know James from Family Dinner?
Yes, you know me from Family Dinner, because I'm part of Family Dinner.
There you go.
And if you don't know what Family Dinner is, I'll tell you in a second. Yeah. Okay, yes. Family Dinner, the Family Dinner Comedy Troupe, is Baton Rouge's premier improv comedy troupe. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm Nick Moore. Right. So, this is Dork, and the idea is to have a forum where we can kind of talk about whatever.
Not like Valley Girls?
But not like, yeah, like not with upspeak, like totally.
Like, yeah.
Right. Because James and I's conversation tends to be a lot different than James and I's conversation around Jeremy on the Registered Podcast.
That is very true.
So that's what that is. So for instance, I made a list of questions.
Oh, okay.
That
did you want to continue talking about Kentucky Jelly?
Kentucky Jelly? No, we've moved on.
Okay. It just seemed unresolved to me.
It was.
Which is why.
And it still is. And it's going to leave a lot of people hanging.
Okay.
They're going to go, why didn't they finish that? What's up with Kentucky Jelly?
Okay. Well,
it's KY.
Obviously, at the end of the episode, we'll just explain postal codes.
Postal. Episode of Sex and the City with Blair Underwood in it. And he was dating... who's the chick with the... You don't know. The chick with the redhead. I think that's Miranda.
Sure.
I may be wrong.
I know there's Kim Cattrall, there's
the redhead.
Jessica Parker, Sarah Jessica Parker, and then there's the other two. One of them is cute and one of them's a redhead.
Yeah, the redhead. She's kind of dating, she's trying to date Blair Underwood. He's like her neighbor. So she invites him over to her house to watch this show that she likes that's on the TV. It's a BBC show. And in it, like the episode she's watching, she's not aware that this is happening, but in it there's a redheaded chick who has been hitting on this black dude, and then they start very gratuitously banging on the show live, and so they have this very uncomfortable hi, we're on the couch together, and we're like
we're echoing like arts imitating life kind of thing.
Yeah so that, there
was how did,
that
how did it work out at the end of the Sex and the City episode?
I don't remember. I don't think they got together.
Oh,
but they maybe may, I don't know.
I don't know.
If you know, you can send us an email at dorkpodcast@gmail.com. DORQUE podcast@gmail.com.
Okay, that's the real email.
And we also take
requests.
Requests and stuff. If there's anything you want us to talk about or bring up, send us that. Or if you have comments or questions, we also. Or corrections. Because like last week, James, well, I was talking about that movie, REC.
Okay.
And James goes, do you mean Quarantine? And I said, no, it's REC. And James was actually right. The original Spanish version was REC.
Ah.
The American version was called Quarantine.
Okay. So we were both right.
We were both right, but you were more right because I was talking about the one in English.
Okay. That's fine.
And that kind of shit's important, though, because...
It is.
Dorkiness is all about the specifics of bullshit.
Yes. My favorite use of model trains was on The Addams Family.
Oh, with Gomez... crashing them?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was weird. It's the Addams Family.
Are you talking about, did they do that on the show or was that just the movie?
They did it on the show. They did it on the show a lot.
See, I never watched the show all that much.
Well, then it was in the movie as well.
It was, and there was a guy on the train.
Yes.
What the fuck was that about?
It's the Addams Family.
Okay, what's the deal with the fucking Addams Family? Like, they're just a bunch of fucking freaks?
Yes.
And they're all fucking...
But But there's like realities in, you know, it touches on planes of reality that bend the normal mind. But they're comfortable with that.
Yeah, they got a cousin that's hair.
Yes.
What the fuck is that? He can drive. He's got one of those little BMW cars.
Yes.
Then he banged a chick, and they made a little hair thing.
He did. A little hairball?
They did.
And he likes MC Hammer music.
Huh?
He likes MC Hammer music.
He does. Of course, we all did back then.
We did. I had parachute pants.
Me too.
Yes.
I had one pair, though.
One pair? I had a few more than one.
Really? Well, I mean, we could do a rapid direction change. Would you rather make out with your dad for 30 minutes or stick a finger up your mom's butt?
For how long?
Oh, you'd have to do it once.
Just the mom thing for once.
Go ahead and knock that out?
Yeah, just go ahead and knock that out.
You'd have to look her dead in the eye and she'd have her legs up like you're changing her diaper.
That may happen at some point anyway, so.
So the next thing on my list was an iPad Air.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't get that.
Did not, okay.
Because my wife called, when she found out I put that on the list, my wife called my boss and was like, don't do that. Because I'm getting him an iPad, which she told me right after, because he got me an iPhone. New iPhone 5.
Oh, very nice.
With the 64 gigs. Like, it's all
64?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This thing weighs like 20 pounds. It's actually lighter than my other phone.
How long does the battery last?
I haven't had to charge it yet.
How long have you had it?
A week.
Ooh.
I'm kidding. I plug it up every night. But I haven't come
close.
You
haven't let it run down?
Yeah, I haven't come
close. Do you have like the thing where it tells you percentages?
Yes. It's not on. 80%. I'm at 80% right now. And I have it on all day.
Okay, cool. That's pretty awesome.
More important, I have Siri now.
You do have Siri.
And man, loving that bitch.
Yes, she's a pretty cool bitch.
You have Siri too?
I have Siri too, yes.
That cheating whore. Well, like I haven't had, you know, I had the 4.
Right.
And I stepped all the way up to the 5. Okay. I didn't have anything in between where, you know, they gave you Siri. So I've been without her in my life.
Oh. Now you've known heartache and pain and now it's all gone.
Well, the first thing I did was switch her to Australian. Because you can't switch your voice to Great Britain. Or without turning into a dude.
Oh.
Who I'm calling Sirius.
Lame.
Yeah. No good. You like a chick talking to you.
Sirius. Oh, okay. Is that where they got the name Siri?
Uh-uh.
No, it's like a Sanskrit for helpful or helper or something, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, go ahead.
Their AI was called Siri. The Mesopotamians.
Yes.
But I switched her voice to Australian because I was like, I want a chick with an accent. And Canadian ain't going to cut it. Because Canadian's another one. Because it's all about the picking up on your accent.
Right.
So I popped in Australian, and she doesn't understand a goddamn thing I say. So I switched back to English. But
Does she sound Australian in the Australian version?
She sounds like if Stephen Hawking was Australian.
Oh.
So
that's less exciting.
It sounds kind of like, hello, how may I help you? Mate. She doesn't say mate, but she does say me at the end of them. Like, I can't figure that out, me.
Oh, is that something?
It's an Australian thing, I guess.
I don't know. I've never been there. My girlfriend's brother's going there next semester. So in spring. In February.
Well, it was cool, but she couldn't understand a damn thing I said. But I put Wolfram Alpha on my phone. Because if you have Wolfram Alpha, then she'll look at that for answers. And so I've been trying to, like, ask her all sorts of crazy shit.
You had to put that on manually?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I guess it just came with mine, because I got the 4S.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Because, like, whenever answers come up, it always says Wolfram Alpha at the bottom, so.
Hmm.
Okay, but anyway, yeah.
Well, it might have done that before, but I was reading something that said, hey, pop this on your phone and she'll check it for stuff. But I guess
so I can just be like, how many meters are in a yard? And I'm on it, is what she says. And it takes her a while to think about that.
See, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't like...
Yeah, it's got Wolfram Alpha at the bottom. This is a very long entry for that question.
Well, I don't... I'm trying to get her to answer questions that I want to know. Like, she picks up on your speech and things you ask over time. Like, she learns the way you talk and then what kind of stuff you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, it's all bullshit. She hasn't learned enough. Speaking of learning AIs, you remember the one that Ken Diddly-Do lost Jeopardy to?
Watson, the IBM machine, yeah.
Yes. You know that's for what they were trying to do with it was to have it be an AI for hospitals.
Oh, to be...
Like, eventually. That's where it's going.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they to help it learn English, they had to teach it slang. And so what they did was they downloaded all of the Urban Dictionary into it.
Whoa.
Yeah, didn't work out well.
No, I wouldn't imagine so.
Because it started answering questions with casual slang from Urban Dictionary. So instead of saying false, it would go, bullshit. So they had to go through and scrub it of all of that.
Yeah, lots, and you probably don't need to know all that stuff. So.
But yeah, I've done things like ask her to call me different names and things. And she's like, I can look up, I don't know that in your blah, blah, blah. You know how in the commercials, it's, the kid goes, call me Rock God. She's like, okay, from now on, I'll call you Rock God.
Yes.
She doesn't do that.
Really? She calls, well, I just, she calls me Master.
Okay, well, hold on.
In time, you will call me.
What's my name?
You're me. That's what you told me, anyway.
Oh.
What?
You're me.
You're me.
my entry is me.
Your entry is me.
Maybe we can change it. Call me Nick.
You would like me to call you Nick? Okay, yeah. Nick. What's next?
All right, we're there.
All right. Yours sounds different than mine.
I was, well, like, she's newer, I guess.
What's my name? I can't hear her.
It says, yeah, it says Me Fungo.
Say that again.
You're Me Fungo, but since we are friends, I get to call you Master.
There we go. Yes, because my username for a lot of things is Leo Fungo, so yeah. It's like Me Fungo, me. You and me. Me and you. Anyway, I'm fine.
How long is James Dick?
Searching the web.
Checking on that. Okay, I found this.
What?
Okay, guess.
It actually came up with an answer without, I don't understand that. Let me search the web.
Guess what she pulled up. Okay, without looking at my phone.
Okay.
Guess what Siri gave me.
A type of brick used by, invented by an architect named James.
No, the King James Bible. And the movie Dick.
Okay. Which one's the movie Dick?
Dick. It's about a couple teenage girls that become friends with Richard.
Oh, Nixon. Yes. It's got like Michelle Williams, I think, is one.
I don't remember. Anyway, I never saw it.
I mean, I never saw it.
But Carol owns it.
But Tortelli, Dan Hedaya is the guy that plays Richard Nixon in that one, I think.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I trust you.
Who played Richard Nixon in the movie Dick?
Sorry, I don't see any Dick in movies matching Dick.
Here, let me ask mine. Who played Richard Nixon in the film Dick?
Sorry, I don't see any Dick in movies matching Dick.
They're like sisters.
Who played the role of Dick in the movie Dick?
Love and Sam Penn stars Begin, Sorry, Jun, and Sweego.
Okay, that's a Korean film.
Wait, hold on.
Directed by Dick Ann. Say Richard Nixon.
Okay.
Instead of Dick. We keep saying Dick. She's like, it's a nickname.
No, I said who played Richard Nixon.
Oh, did you?
All right. Who was in the movie Dick?
Which one?
Oh, okay. Dick Tracy? Dick Nostcho? Dick Figure? It was 1999, I'm assuming.
Dick stars Kirsten Dunst, Michelle Williams, and Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer.
I'm assuming he did not play Richard Nixon. It got 70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Huh.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, let's see what she thinks. Is Dick starring Jim Brewer a good movie?
I couldn't find any movies matching Dick starring Jim Brewer.
Huh. These are two different girls. Our wives don't get along.
Siri, what the fuck?
I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
wait, let's see what it says. Siri, what the fuck? She just gave me an exclamation point. She wouldn't even respond.
What I love is when you ask her questions like this. What's the meaning of life? K-A-N-T. I can't answer that.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
What's the meaning of life? The universe and everything.
Let me have a look. All right, here's what I got.
Read that for me.
Here's the forecast between today and
And
Sunday.
She gave me the weather.
Oh, that's a lot of loud.
Siri, you suck.
No.
Siri, I love you.
I am only here to serve you.
Oh,
that's nice. Hey, Siri, how about a hand job?
Hello.
She heard me.
She's like, hello. Is that what that was? Or we're just like, oh, hello. Is that how you introduced yourself?
I think it was more like a, pardon you, sir.
Hello. Yes. I don't know why I did a thing that sounded like Hannibal Lecter and Severus Snape. Hello.
How rich is Batman?
Let me think. My web search turned this up.
Oh, there's a few. It should give me a couple sites.
Oh.
I thought she'd answer, but no, she's being a bitch.
Yep. Oh, Dick Insider.
How old are you?
I don't see why that should matter.
She didn't say Nick at the end, but she said it on the screen. See, I never actually played Dungeons and Dragons.
No.
Like, all my friends, all the stuff, I wanted to do things.
Really?
As a teenager.
Oh, okay.
But, like, my friends didn't. Like, I can't explain it. Like, I was like, hey, guys, let's play Dungeons and Dragons. They're like, what the hell is that? And I'd show them, and they're like, oh, we're not doing that. I'd be like, hey, we should start a band. And they're like, I don't want to play anything.
Oh.
Hey, we should do something. No, we want to ride bikes and chase the ice cream man. Which we did once. We spent one summer afternoon just following the ice cream man around. He was a really old guy. He was like in his 80s. And he smoked a lot. And he'd talk like this. He was really skinny. Looked like a witch. Okay. And we followed him for about 3 hours before he stopped at one point. And all these little kids come running up to the ice cream truck. And he leans out and he goes, you little bastards, quit following me. I'm going to back you over. And so that's when we stopped.
Yeah. I would have gotten suspicious long before that. So yeah. What are these kids doing?
Well, you know, he's an ice cream man.
He's supposed to be even-tempered?
I would guess.
A model of equanimity?
He was. And his ice cream truck was one of the scary ones.
Like, did it have, like, a flaming skull on top of it?
It was like one of those vans with a hole cut in the side.
Okay.
You know, and it's
got... Oh, yeah.
Like, at one time it was new.
It has a sticker on it or something?
Yeah, like, at one time it had all the menu on there. And that has long since faded. And he's been smoking in the truck for so long that the inside's kind of gray.
Mm.
And there's a cooler in there that contains ice cream materials. That, like, they have to get it from the ice cream man store because they all have the same ones. They all have the Ninja Turtle and the Smurf and the Rainbow Pop and the Rocket Pop. And, you know, like, they all have the same shit.
You're
it's like,
younger than I am.
What do you mean? You had different ones?
Yeah, I mean, we had, like, the drumstick and the nut something.
Well, you had that shit, too. But, like, the cartoon... I always get the cartoon ones because I wanted the gum off the eyes. Like, there was a cartoon character and the eyes were gum. And he didn't sell gum. So I'd be like, I want gum because I'll eat the ice cream and then I'll have the gum later.
Yes.
See? Because everybody
clever.
Else finishes their ice cream and I've still got gum. So fuck you.
I'm still savoring the moment, fuckers.
Yeah, they're screwed. But he also sold candy cigarettes, which are always a hoot.
I just haven't even thought about candy cigarettes in a very long time.
Did you... candy cigarettes are good. They're just like little sugar sticks.
Right.
Better are the bubblegum cigarettes.
I remember the bubblegum cigars.
Well, okay, those are different. Those are ones that, you know, you buy individually. It was obviously gum.
Right.
And it was wrapped up like a cigar.
Right. Candy
cigarettes. Bubblegum cigarettes.
Bubblegum cigarettes, yes.
Came in, they looked like, you know, a pack of smokes.
Uh-huh.
And they were wrapped to look like cigarettes. And they were, you know, they came in grape, orange, cherry, I think that's about it. There are like three or four different flavors.
And a strawberry, maybe? Lemon?
Orange was the best because when you hold it up, it was a stick of gum completely wrapped in cigarette paper. Like it looked it down to the filter. Like it had a filter and it was white down the end. So if you look at the end of it, it, you know, it looks like a lit cigarette. And they had to roll the gum in powdered sugar to keep it from sticking to the paper.
Yeah.
So when you pick it up and you blow through it, it would puff smoke out one end of it. And you could keep that thing in your mouth, you know, all day until the paper started like melting out and crap like that.
Right.
But it looked like a real cigarette. And I blame that for my smoking habit. I don't smoke anymore, but I did smoke.
No, for a while. I've seen the picture on your RegStick posts.
Oh, yeah, me.
When it says, I've quit smoking a long time ago, but this is too cool a picture to give up.
It's a pretty groovy picture, yeah.
It is a groovy picture. I mean, I don't like smoking in general. I mean, I've never smoked cigarettes. And, you know, and I don't like the smell of them or anything or much about them. But there are times when it, like, it just looks sexy or cool, you know? There's a scene in Hellboy, is the one I always think of, where after Rasputin has come back and, like, the blonde girl who's been young since the 1940s is, like, shaving his head and she's got, you know, the cigarette hanging out of the side of her mouth and she's got her blonde hair all curled back and it's all, like, you know, I was like, well, that's kind of sexy, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, cigarettes do stink. And, like, after you quit for, like, a day, you're like, oh, wow, this really smells bad. You know, because you start smelling things again.
Right. You don't have that permanent thing in your nose that keeps you from smelling things.
Yeah, and it kills your taste buds and all that stuff. But, yeah, you still think about it every day. It never goes away. Like, once you quit smoking, you're still a smoker the rest of your life. You just don't do it as often. Sometimes years will go by between cigarettes. But every now and then, you'll be at a party or something, and somebody's like, hey, man, you want one? And you've had a couple beers, and you're like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, that's why I quit that.
Yeah.
But yeah, candy cigarettes, man.
Candy cigarettes, you never had that problem. And yeah, I understand why people were like, you can't do that. And the tobacco industry, somewhere in there, was like, come on, we need to keep doing this. But you know, that's why we don't have Joe Camel anymore, also.
Oh, Joe Camel was the man. He's always playing pool or riding his motorcycle.
And he died of emphysema.
Cancer of the hump. It was this one. So, the day before a day...
Yes.
Is the Eve.
Eve. That is correct.
What do you call the day after?
The Adam?
Christmas Adam?
Sure.
Sure, let's go with that. So it's Christmas.
That's an assumption on the etymology, but you know. What other explanation do I have?
No, that's good.
All right.
Well, no, I think Eve comes from evening.
Okay. But evening. Okay, so would you say.
So it's the evening.
You wouldn't say
before.
Christmas morn, because that's still the day of.
Yeah. But Christmas Eve is the night before Christmas.
Right.
Although, I guess it should be the night of Christmas, shouldn't it?
If that's your basic etymology, then yeah. Or that's your assumed source of the word or phrase.
We got to go back and talk to Jesus. Straighten this shit out.
So, I was listening to the radio, and they had the, you know, the reading from the book that Jesus comes from, the Bible.
Yes.
And, you know, they had this whole conversation between Gabriel and Mary, and like Gabriel was like, you know, you're gonna have a baby and it's gonna be named Jesus, and she was just like, okay, I'm your handmaiden of the Lord, I'll do whatever you want. But I'm not saying she shouldn't have said, you know, no, or I'm not saying she shouldn't have agreed to it all, but I'm just wondering.
Oh, she didn't have a choice.
Yeah, but like
she was knocked up at that point.
But she didn't have to name him Jesus. Like, she could have been like, I don't want to call him Jesus, can I call him Bubby? You know
Charles is a family name, and you know, my father was Charles and his father was Charles. We were kind of hoping to name the boy. Look, can we just call him Charles?
Right. We'll
say everybody's name is Jesus, but we call him Charles at home.
Yeah. You want to do that? Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, actually, they might have done that, for all we know. Like, because well, you know, Gabriel was like, call him Jesus. We call everybody Jesus. Okay, but on his birth certificate, it's going to say Chuck.
But Jesus is a... but Jesus is a Mexican name.
Jesus.
His name is really...
Jesus Christos.
His name is Joshua.
Joshua?
Yeah.
Yeah,
his real name is Yeshua.
I read the Christopher, not Christopher Lambert. What the hell is the guy? He wrote Fluke. He wrote Lamb, the story
Christopher
of
Christopher Moore.
Christopher Moore.
Yeah.
That's not like Lambert.
The Gospel
at all.
According to Biff.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus' childhood pal. Yeah, because he refers to him as Joshua all through the book.
Yeah, Josh.
Yeah. Joshy boy. Well, back in 1999, I invested heavily in a technology known as Minidisc. And I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was going to be the wave of the future, replacing all instances of cassette tapes, basically.
They certainly look cool.
They do look cool, and they're very versatile, although not as versatile as things like MP3s or, you know, actual just regular digital files like WAVs and stuff.
For people listening that don't know what a mini disc is, could you explain it real quick?
I can. Mini disc is, the actual disc is about, I don't know, 2 inches by 2 inches. It's in a cartridge type of thing.
But you can see the disc in it.
You can see the disc in it. It looks like a very small compact disc. And the players were, I mean, they had different types, like, you know, stereo deck players you could put it in. There's like, yeah, there's a stereo over on them. It just looks like a stereo player. Because that one, that particular one that you're pointing to that's in the room, is it plays CDs as well as mini disc and radio and stuff. But you could record, just like straight record things off of, you know, with it. With different formats, you could get like, you know, 74 minutes or four times that much, which would be like 5 hours, mm-hmm, onto one disc. If you had the MDLP function. And another thing, you could like alter the, you could name all the tracks on it, so that when you put it into one of the players, it would like tell you what's playing, and you could like move around the tracks as well. So if you're like, I recorded this, you know, 3 hour concert, but I like the middle hour more, so I'm gonna move that to the front, and then you'll hear the second hour, and then the first hour, and then the third hour,
uh-huh,
and stuff like that, and like move the tracks around on whatever kind of thing. It's like basically a portable playlist, is just in the form of just a digital disc.
Right, and what do you have to do with those?
Oh, as far as the deadline that you hinted at earlier?
Yes.
I have to get rid of them. I have to toss them all into the sea, or, you know, get them out of the house, basically.
So one of those mini discs, how much space did it have?
Well, this one that I'm holding is just recorded in standard format. So in stereo, it records 74 minutes, which is approximately the length of a CD. I have some of these that are recorded in MDLP, so they can record up to 150 or 300 minutes. So some of them are 5 hours long.
Well, I was looking at those, and I said, where have I seen those before? And you immediately said,
The Matrix,
at the beginning of The Matrix, when Neo, like, you know, kind of, he's sitting in his room and all this shit.
Yeah, he wakes up at the computer, and there's a knock at the door.
Knock, knock.
And the guy's like, oh, you got the stuff? And suggests later that Neo smoke, you know, do some mescaline.
He goes, you ever have a feeling that you're awake, but you're still dreaming?
Yeah, man.
It's called mescaline.
Yeah.
This is a wild ride or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And then
that's when he sees the girl with the tattoo of the white rabbit. And he
the
calls
shitty, shitty tattoo of a white rabbit.
Yeah, it's a shitty tattoo of the white rabbit. There's another girl. There's like two girls in that little party that knock on the door, and one, not the one with the white rabbit tattoo, but the other one with the nose clip, uh-huh, I thought was like one of the most attractive women I'd ever seen.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
I was watching Roxanne with Carol then, the Steve Martin movie.
Yeah, with the nose.
Yeah, where it's you know, it's
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yeah.
And I am not an illiterate, uncouth typhoon.
Well, some of our listeners are, so I'm trying to explain to them. But anyway, there's a scene where he's walking down the street. Not Charlie Martin. Yeah. The Cyrano de Bergerac character, but the, what's the name of the guy that he coaches?
Oh, Slider from Top Gun?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the actor.
But he's walking the street with another guy from the fire department, and mm-hmm, this guy fancies himself a, you know,
a man's man?
A ladies man.
I mean.
And he's telling him how it works, and he like walks up to a chick, and he's like, aren't you Playmate of the Year, 1984, some shit? Like, that's his move, and he thinks he's awesome about it. But as he's walking down the street, this brunette chick in a red dress walks by in the other direction, and she looks at Slider,
yeah,
and she like gives him a glance and walks off, and that's it. That's all she's in the movie. That movie came out in 1987, okay. I think it was 87, and I remembered that chick from when I was 7 years old. I was like, I've had a crush on that brunette.
Yeah, from that one scene.
For that one scene, my whole life, and yeah, it just, like a whole roaming series of odd attractions that I couldn't place all came back to this chick.
Oh.
But that's beside the point.
No, I understand. Because, like, I've thought about the nose-clippy chick from The Matrix more than once. So.
Yeah, she's definitely hotter than the White Rabbit chick.
Yeah.
Who got hers in the third movie.
Right.
She died. She was part of the infiltration team into the energy plant.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, so he had these. The little mini discs. I hope I'm not damaging it by shaking it.
No.
Yeah. He had these little mini discs.
Oh, yeah. Neo did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were hidden in the book called Simulation and Simulacrum.
Yes. And so, you know, Neo's like, oh, here's my awesome mini disc. And he hands it to the guy. He's like, anybody catches you using this?
You don't exist.
Yeah. Right. I get it, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. You're my personal Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, yeah, that's what he says.
You're missing my own personal Jesus Christ, which is all foreshadowing.
Yeah, a bit of foreshadowing. Because he's Jesus. Anyway, so The Matrix. Like, immediately you dumped into The Matrix, which brings me to my arrival here. When I got here today, I had headphones on.
You did?
I did. I was listening to an audiobook.
Yes.
Because you talked to me about Audible, yeah. And you got me into that. And, like, I signed up for the free trial of Audible,
yeah.
Where you get one free book, and then, like, you get a book a month for, like, $15.
Right.
And some of them run, like, $30, so it's,
yeah,
like...
And I have the two... You get two a month. You get two credits a month for, like, $23 or $24.
Yeah. So I signed on, and, like, I did it for, like, 3 weeks. I didn't get a book. I just couldn't think of anything I wanted to listen to. So I quit it before I even used my credit. Because if you don't, you know, once that first month rolls by, then they start charging you.
Yeah.
So it's like, I couldn't think of anything. Audiobooks are stupid. Yeah, blah, blah. So last night, I go out and, like, try and quit Audible. And they go, wait. I go through everything to quit. I give them the reason why I'm quitting and all this stuff. And then right before I can completely quit, they go, hey, wait. Hold on, man. Hold on. What if we gave you your first 3 months for half off? Which means you get a book for $7.
Yeah.
Which
it's a good deal.
At that point, I was like, sold. You got me. So I downloaded my first Audible audiobook.
Okay. What was it?
Neuromancer.
Oh, William Gibson.
Yes, which I've never read.
But now you will have.
But after a lifetime of sci-fi, and what would, you know...
Yeah.
Would you... Would,
this is like the general public, cyberpunk.
Yeah,
it's
what
like
the
originator
general
of
public
genre.
Would call science fiction.
Yeah.
You know, just general, all sci-fi is lumped in. No, specifically cyberpunk. It all stems from this one book.
Yeah.
And so I've been listening to that all day and going, those motherfuckers. Like, William Gibson uses the term The Matrix.
He does.
At least once every five pages. And it's all about this dude jacking into
this other world, basically. Cyberspace is what they call it.
Yeah.
They refer to it as cyberspace anyway.
Yeah, and in his introduction, this is the audiobook of the version that came out in 2004, William Gibson's basically like, look, man, I didn't realize that people would have handheld phones. You know, it's 1984. There's hits and misses.
Yeah, because like there's a big scene in there about where the guy's
big
like walking by payphones and like they're all ringing and like just exactly as he passes by.
Yeah,
and like that would never happen nowadays because you don't see that many payphones in one place.
Yeah. That said, though, I'm really enjoying it, man. It's like,
good.
It's really good. Like
I actually just read the Audible I listened to the Audible version of that not like 4 or 5 months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging it. I've been walking around everywhere with this stupid thing in. Just going, oh, what's going to happen? But it's great. And I'm like linking everything that I've enjoyed that I had no idea was from this one thing.
Right.
And I'm listening to it and I'm like, okay, there's a Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
You know, there's The Matrix, obviously. There's, Johnny Mnemonic is one he wrote, right?
Wasn't it based on a short story? Or was it based on...
Because I think one of the characters...
Well, maybe it just had a different name. It wasn't called Johnny Mnemonic.
One of the characters appears in what became Johnny Mnemonic.
Right. Yes. It's interrelated. It's definitely previously related.
But it's just like... I don't know. It's very good. And it's one of those rare instances where you catch up on something that you missed a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy it for what it is, but also enjoy it as something that has kind of... woven in something a lot of people have experienced. It's like when I read Ender's Game.
Yeah,
like I read
which is also something I've only first read a few months ago.
Yeah, I read that for the first time maybe 3 or 4 years after a friend of mine had been insisting I read it for like 20 years.
Yeah,
I finally read it and I couldn't put it down. Just like, this is really good science fiction.
Yeah, it is. Have you seen the movie? Don't waste your time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you really like the book, then you really won't like the movie.
Okay.
If you've never heard of the book, then the movie will be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
Yeah, well, I mean, reading it, it's like The Watchmen, where you're like, man, it'd be really hard to get this true on film.
Yeah.
Because Ender in the book is like 5.
Yeah, he's really young. He's like, but in the movie, he's like 12 or something.
Yeah, just because I don't know.
Well, he starts out 5 in the book.
Yeah, and he gets.
But he doesn't. He. I don't think at the end of the book he's as old as he starts out in the movie.
No.
Yeah. But you were telling me about. Oh yeah, and it's like. You sound like, it reminds me of the first time I saw Casablanca, which is a movie that like everybody's, you know, apparently seen and, you know, knows backwards and forwards.
Huh.
And like the very first time I saw it, I was like, you know, 25 years old or something. And like, I knew the story. I knew like half the lines before they were spoken. Uh-huh. But like I'd never seen the movie. It was just kind of those things. It's like so inundated in the culture. Like in Casablanca's case, it's, you know, the wide culture. In Neuromancer's case, it's, you know, the specific like science fiction cyberpunk culture. But it's still the same kind of phenomenon. Like, oh, I'm already familiar with this work. I know I'm like seeing where the echoes and, you know, other things happen.
Like I was telling Carol, I was trying to explain it to her. And I was like, you remember that video game I played where I had prosthetic limbs and I was like a cop and it was the future, but not too far in the future? And she was like, honey, you got to be more clear. I was like, oh, okay, Deus Ex. That's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, it's a game that I played that I'm probably going to play again in like 2 or 3 weeks because I'm listening to this stupid thing and it really makes you want to, you know.
Jack back in.
But yeah, it's a hell of a pleasure.
I don't know why that was funny the way you said that. Like,
it's weird. It's weird to be, you know, at this point in my life, there's not a lot of things that pop up that really...
You get jazzed about?
Yeah, or like surprise me, or that I'm like, wow, I'm really enjoying this as a new experience.
Yeah.
You know, that. So speaking of new experiences...
Oh, did you fuck a goat?
No, that's not new.
Okay.
You know, not since high school. when was the last time you were really scared? Like, genuinely afraid?
That's a really good question. I don't tend to, like, let terror take me over. Like,
neither do I.
Even in situations where I probably should.
Mm-hmm.
The
logical brain kicks in. You're
yeah.
Like, here's a problem.
Like,
let's deal with it.
I've been in situations in cars where, you know... If nothing happens in the next 2 seconds, I'm going to hit a wall, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. Or, you know, the person driving, because I'm usually not the one driving those fucking situations. I have idiot friends. Anyway. I'm like, Kevin, turn right a little bit. And he's like, oh, you know, because like we were going 70 miles an hour into a semi. But and we got run off the road when I was driving from Dallas with my friend Aaron. But the last time I was really scared, that's a good one. I don't know.
Because as a man, at this point in your life, one would hope that, you know, you... Like, there have been situations where, let's say I'm out walking my dog, mm-hmm. and there's a stray dog that just comes barreling towards us. And I don't know, you know, it obviously is stray, it's dirty, I don't know if it's going to attack or anything. And my response is not, oh, run, bitch. It's I grab my dog's leash and I step in between them and, you know, you deal with the situation.
You do, yeah, because there's rules for this happening. And if you remember, if you keep your head while all around you are losing theirs, then you'll be a man.
Huh.
Sorry, I just had to quote Rudyard Kipling. Actually, I didn't have to, but, you know me. But I've been in a very similar situation. I was walking with my girlfriend at the time. And, I mean, there was a dog. It was like a pit bull terrier.
Mm-hmm.
And... It came, like, you know, barking at us. And I remembered when I was working for the Southwestern Company selling books door to door. Like, they told me, like, hey, if you're ever, you know, if you're walking down in a neighborhood and a dog comes at you, just start barking back at it because it doesn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And it, like, worked enough to confuse the dog to keep it, like, you know, away until we could, like, you know...
Get beyond it.
And I think if I was, like, really full of terror, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I mean, I had a respect for what, you know, what could possibly happen in that situation, but I didn't let it control me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends on your idea of what scared is. Because I was definitely scared then, but I wasn't, like, so scared that I couldn't do what, you know, needed to be done.
Yeah. Well, last night, or this morning, depending on how you look at it, about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
It's very quiet in my home. I have two dogs, so, I mean, nothing sneaks into my house. It's like nobody can walk by without when I'm going, you know, it just, you're...
Doing that first little...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, nothing sneaks up on you.
Right.
You know, if one of them's nervous, then I get a bit of a nudge. One of, you know, they sleep on the bed, so one of them moves, and that's enough to jostle me. I'm like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, right, yellow alert.
Yeah. Everything's good? Back to green. Go to sleep. Well, it was maybe about 4:30. Carol just starts screaming like she's on fire. She is screaming and thrashing around on her side of the bed like she has just burst into flames and she's getting stabbed by like gnomes or something. I don't know. It's dark. All I hear is it's dead quiet, and then just out of nowhere, crazy screams. All I can do, like, and she's thrashing around a lot. Like, she's knocked all the covers off the bed. Like, she's thrashing. Only thing I can do is go, baby, baby, baby. I just reach over and I just grab her with one arm, and I pull her to me, and I just hold her. I'm like, hey, 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 hey. She'd had a nightmare. And it wasn't like a crazy nightmare. It was just very vivid.
Yeah.
And when she finally explained to me this morning, because, like, I was like, are you okay? You okay? She said, and she went back to sleep. And I was like, no. We're all up. You need an explanation. But she went back to sleep. I had to get up and, like, walk around because my chest was killing me.
Yeah.
Because it was out of nowhere. It was just a massive jolt of adrenaline. Like, so yeah. My heart hurt. Like, it was just like,
yeah.
You know, Vincent Vega had just hit me with the syringe and I popped up going, something. Like, yeah. I was at that point. So this morning she finally, you know, explained what had happened, and she had a dream where she, and it was just painfully real, that there was a strange man in our apartment and he was leaning over in the bed. She was asleep on her side of the bed and this guy was standing beside her, like he'd come in through the window or something, and was just leaning over real close. And she, you know, just screamed and started swinging, and that's, you know, when she came to.
Right.
Which is a, you know, I tried to figure out why that happened. She's kind of sick right now. She's got like a cold.
Oh, and is she having the fever? Like, is she having elevated temperature?
No, I don't think she was feverish, but I think maybe she's got a, you know, sinus pressure. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that mixed with her brain while she's asleep gave her the sensation somebody's standing over, which is something that happens with people who claim alien abductions, where they feel like somebody was watching me sleep.
Yeah.
And I was just filled with terror. And it's a spinoff of night terrors, but specifically with that sense of dread and that idea that someone is hovering over you,
yeah,
watching you sleep. But for that, you know, 10, 15 seconds.
It seems real.
Oh, yeah.
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 It just reminds me when I was working as a resident director at the University of Oklahoma, there was a point at which somebody got access to a building master, and I came home and like half of my CDs and half in like video games and like a bunch of shit of mine was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day or the next night, when before they'd done the audit to figure out whether it was like, you know, whether I had accidentally left my door unlocked or if like there was a master key missing or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I slept in that room, and that night I had, you know, that it's a specific kind of dream where you can't move, like you feel like you're entirely awake but your body can't move.
Yeah.
In this case I felt like I was entirely covered with spider webs and there was somebody in my apartment with me,
mm-hmm.
and like, but I like was trying to move and it just would not, like I could not. And I remember more, there was fear, but it was because of the helplessness aspect of it.
Yeah.
And that was like what was like preeminent on my mind. And like, I just felt like, you know, somebody, I felt vulnerable. I felt really vulnerable. That was, and then they figured out that somebody had lost the key and then they like rekeyed everything. So I figured that like after that, I didn't have that dream anymore. But I remember that was a terrible, terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the last really scary dream you had?
Can I ask you a question before I answer that?
Sure.
Does Carol sleep naked?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Like, there are times at which, there are periods in my life where I have a lot of dreams at the same time. Or not at the same time, but in a night. Like, I'll have 6 dreams in a night.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to journal, like, probably still do, because I have some weird fucking dreams. And sometimes they're worth, you know, remembering. If I ever want to write a story, it was like, oh, well, there was this time where I was being chased through a junkyard by a guy in a Venom suit who wasn't really Venom, but he had a bunch of knives. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There were times where I like describe a dream to somebody and like I don't consider it a nightmare, but they were like, wow, that sounds really terrible. I'm like, I guess it was kind of terrible, but I mean, I woke up in a cold sweat, but I guess it doesn't necessarily affect me as it might some other folks. The last scary dream I had, there was a one where I kept falling off a building and I would wake up and then like come back you can go back to sleep and I would fall again, but I would never hit the bottom. But that was more of like, that was only like one time. So I don't really consider that a recurring dream.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, it recurred that night, but.
When I was little, I used to have a back and forth of like apocalyptic dreams. There was one where the world was ending around me. And that was like 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah.
Where like things are just crumbling and being torn apart and fire. And that may have been because I went to church
a lot. Brimstone, hellfire.
Yeah. And it,
if you believe in the Lord.
That was really the message.
Yeah.
Sunday morning was like, oh, you are so fucked. It was that, was it Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you are a spider being hurled above the flame by God's grace alone. Like that shit.
Yeah.
My understanding is they've lightened up a little bit, so I was kidding. But like that kind of stuff, and the opposite side was that I was like in hell. But that's the only way I can describe it, because I was chained to a wall in a huge cavern, huge, like chained to a wall, if the size of a superdome.
Oh yeah,
you know, a big cavern, and it just goes down for like a mile and then curves to the right. And from that, down at the end of it, when it curves to the right, there's a big green light pouring out. Like whatever's around that corner, there's a big green glowing energy. And something's coming from that corner. And I can't see it. But I can hear it. I can feel it. And it's huge. And it is not good.
Mm.
And it's coming specifically for me. And I would have that dream a lot as a kid.
That's creepy.
Well, what changed it was two things. One was Winnie the Pooh. I started reading Winnie the Pooh. That helped a little bit. If I did that before I went to bed, it would kind of change the way my mindset. The other one is an episode of G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
There was a character. I can't remember his name, man. Nightwatch, I think. But he was a special in Night Ops. Specialist in Night Ops.
Okay.
And he had like a red visor that he wore. But he... There's an episode where Cobra is infiltrating all the Joe's dreams to like control them, like Freddy Krueger style.
Yeah.
And this guy used to have these really... It was a really deep episode because like he was abused by his dad as a kid. And so he would have these nightmares all the time where he was like in a junkyard. His dad would make him... He was raised in a junkyard and his dad would make him go fight the rats to toughen him up. He's like, you'll clear the rats out and give him like a stick and all this stuff. And his dad would beat the shit out of him. And so he learned to lucid dream. He learned to control, he learned to figure out when he was dreaming, and he could take over the dream, make it okay. And so he teaches all the other Joes
how to lucid dream.
And so that way they're able to fight back
against the Cobra. Against Cobra. Invasion. Yeah.
And I was, I don't know, 7 when I saw that, but that made sense to me, and that helped.
Were you able to control your dream some? Or are you just.
I still can.
Oh.
Now. I have to realize that I'm dreaming and I don't have a specific cue.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Inception where I've got like something in my pocket that
yeah.
I can go, oh, I'm dreaming. But it's just realizing some things like, okay, why am I building a glider in my childhood backyard with Yoda? Like this doesn't, something's off.
I know. But like that's the hard thing to recognize though. Like even in the world of the dream, everything makes sense. Like in the world of the dream, you have this whole back history that like automatically fills in.
Mm-hmm.
So like everything makes sense. But yeah. I had you're talking about dreams when you were 5 or 6. I remember a terrifying dream I had. And it's probably because my mom took me to the mall all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like terrified of like losing her or something.
Yeah.
I had this dream. I may have told you. I've talked about it recently. I don't know why. But that I was in Gotcha's or Maison Blanche. And I was like sinking into the floor, like the floor was quicksand to me, but like so like it was like sucking me up, but like everyone else like walked on it like it was hard ground.
Yeah.
Like people, like strangers walking by. My mom was nowhere to be seen in this thing, but I remember like, you know, just being like pulled down into this, you know, what was for me liquid floor, and everyone else is walking around like it's solid, and I'm like screaming for help, and like everyone's just ignoring me, like I'm not even there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, that was my childhood terror dream. Like, I still remember that one really, really clearly.
Yeah. Being left alone, being lost as a kid, that's pretty natural fear.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing, the picture that circulated Facebook a couple times of a little kid that got lost at Comic-Con?
No.
He got separated from his parents at Comic Con, and this kid is maybe 4 or 5.
Oh.
And somehow he wandered away from his parents. But he saw Wonder Woman in The Flash. And so he went up to him, and he was like, I lost my parents, because he recognized Wonder Woman in The Flash.
And they're the heroes. They're heroes,
and he goes up to him, and he's like, I lost my mom and dad. And so, of course, they're able to, you know, help him out. So as a kid, that's like, I can't imagine a better experience. He'd be like, no, as far as something that boosts the feeling that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Than to have been lost, and all of a sudden, The Flash and Wonder Woman show up. And they're like, what's wrong, son? And that's Wonder Woman, because she's mannish. She's, what's wrong, son?
Oh.
I lost my parents. Oh, well, let's find them. You know?
As opposed to... Well, I think it also feels good for the people dressed as Wonder Woman and The Flash, because they're like, we're dressed as heroes, and we're about to do a good deed. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually, there was a purpose to us putting this on today.
Well, it's like a difference, you know,
a real purpose.
When I was lost as a kid, and I wandered up to a cop, and I was like, I lost my mom. And he's like, yeah, you want to buy some cocaine? Like, it's a different formative experience.
Yes. Yes. Did you buy the cocaine?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean.
And now we have Nick that we know today.
I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll tell you, half price. He still overcharged me. Even at 80s prices, it was exorbitant.
80s cocaine, that was expensive.
That was good shit, too.
Okay.
They stomp on it so far now. It's all baby aspirin and talcum powder. It's bullshit.
That's horse shit. Oh.
Yeah.
I think I got the soundtrack to Parappa the Rapper on one of these discs.
You're getting paid to do it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, if I didn't have a job, I could get the gym every day for 5 hours, you know, yeah. And become Wolverine. Which is what Hugh Jackman has to do. You gotta,
yeah,
like,
and he like has a ridiculous diet too. He eats like, you know, 5 chicken breasts for real breakfast.
Yeah,
you
just pounding protein.
So you
eat a ton of spinach, ton of chicken.
I would find it easier to eat when I wasn't hungry than to not eat when I was really, 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 really fucking hungry.
You get used to it.
I'm sure you do. I'm just
I did a Biggest Loser challenge at my office a few years back, and it went on for 4 months, and in the last month it was down to me and the vice president. The company. And so we both started like really knuckling down, and I lost 40 pounds over the course of it. 30 of that was in the last month.
Ew, that's like a pound a day.
Yeah,
that's not healthy.
No, it wasn't. But here's, like, we were both like dead on, like, you know, what are you doing? Well, for breakfast I had a suppository and a bottle of water, and then I had a cup of coffee, and I put a little dirt on the end of my tongue. I'm like this, you know. But you get to where you, like, seriously, after 3 or 4 days of being hungry, you don't pay attention to it anymore.
Yeah.
But what you do notice is like, let's say you're having a conversation and somebody makes you laugh and you kind of get winded. You go, oh boy. Like, I was sitting at my desk, and I started laughing, and I had to, like, sit up real quick because I was about to pass out. It's like, well, maybe I should have a granola bar or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it. You have to keep yourself busy.
There's a price you pay for everything you gain. Yeah. Every March, I fast because of the sort of religious thing. And, you know, which basically means I don't eat lunch because I can eat before the sun comes up and after it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to, like, eat such things in a pattern that, you know, will make you hungry in the middle of the day. And it's a 19-day thing, but, you know, if I do it, like, the first few days are always the hardest. But once you get into that pattern, you know, you can...
Yeah.
What's funny is, like, once you get into that pattern, you're used to it, but then, like, after the fast is over and you can eat during the middle of the day, it, like, feels kind of weird eating normally at that point.
You gotta take up smoking. That'll get you through the day. No problem.
Okay, yeah. Let me just exchange my hunger for cancer. That's awesome.
Dude, if I could smoke without consequence, I could make it like a month without food. If I have like a pack of cigarettes a day, well, I'd need like 3 packs a day, and as much water as I wanted.
Yes.
Maybe coffee. Cigarettes and coffee will get you a long way.
Yeah, Rufus Wainwright told me that.
Rufus Wainwright?
Yeah, the singer. He has a song called Cigarettes and Coffee? Or Cigarettes and Milk? Anyway, he's got a song about it.
Cigarettes and milk. I like to break up my cigarettes into the milk and stir it until it gets kind of brown.
I just dunk them, yes.
And then I drink it. And
then you get the cigarettes with double stuff and you dunk them twice as long.
Mm.
And break the filter apart and lick the inside.
Good lord. Yeah, I like Guy Ritchie movies. Another thing Carol won't watch.
No Snatch?
No Snatch.
No Lock, Snock, and Snook and Snookin'?
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
That's pretty much what I said.
Yeah.
And he did Sherlock Holmes. He did the Robert Downey Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess she watched that.
Yeah.
Which
those
is good.
Yeah, those were good. It was like a different take on Sherlock Holmes. I mean, like, there's different interpretations. I mean, there's so many different interpretations of Sherlock Holmes. I saw this list online that was like, the best 20 Sherlock Holmeses. I'm like, holy shit. And there were like 20 different Sherlock Holmeses.
See, my Sherlock Holmes growing up was Jeremy Brett, which I think was a lot of people our age.
Well, maybe, but my folks like the older ones. Like, well, my mom, because my dad was like, Sherlock Holmes, who gives a fuck? Matt Dillon, goddammit. that's my investigator. Go down there with a gun. If I have to shoot you, I have to shoot you. Anyway, Basil Rathbone was like the epitome of Sherlock Holmes for me.
Basil Rathbone.
Yeah, he was like 1936 to 1944 or something like that.
Okay, Jeremy Brett was more like the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I didn't watch the Basil ones when they were actually, you know, being made.
Yes, I'm going to... Yeah.
I think Peter Cushing was involved with something somewhere in there.
Well, he's kind of a skinny dude, huh?
Peter Cushing or Basil Rathbone?
Basil Rathbone.
Yeah, he was.
I was like, I'm looking at a little picture of him. He's got a little like devil beard.
Yeah,
I don't think that's him.
You got that on your phone rather quickly.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Okay, you just typed in Basil Rathbone. I didn't know if you already had like, oh, speaking of Basil Rathbone, he just came up on my my email.
No, I got into watching, like, I read the complete Sherlock Holmes pretty young. I was 10 or 11. My dad had it in his library, and I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. So I read A Study in Scarlet.
That was the first one with Irene Adler.
Yes. Right? It's also the first story.
No. Scandal in Bohemia is the one with Irene Adler. A Study in Scarlet was which one?
It's the first one. That's the one about the Mormons.
Okay. Yeah.
And then basically kept reading it. I'd read a different story every night. But when I saw it on PBS, it was... with Jeremy Brett, which is this guy. I mean, I'm showing you a picture.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've seen him before.
That dude.
Oh yeah.
And he was pretty he was pretty true to the books.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene I remember where they're in a bar and he's like trying to question some guy, and the guy's like, "Oh, you looking at Mike?" And he gets up to go to like fight, and Jeremy Brett, you know, Sherlock Holmes is a boxer. He can box.
Yes.
He's also good at single stick, which is like kung fu with a cane.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1800s, which is a real thing.
Yeah.
Single stick. So, like, he goes to, you know, he throws up his dukes, Sherlock Holmes does, and he does this, like, stupid footwork where he's just, like, look like he's tap dancing.
Yeah.
But everybody in the bar is like, ooh. Oh. And the guy's like, all right, mate.
Never mind, mate.
I'm looking for trouble. I ain't trying to do nothing with you, right? Back off. You know?
You sound like Badger from Firefly. You remember the thug?
The little dude, yeah.
Yeah.
What is he? What is it he says to Malcolm? I'm a gentleman. I'm a gentleman. I'm well kept. Right? Nothing to fuck with. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember. That's the first episode. Let's walk back.
These tickets are really popular. Matter of fact, people, you know, treat them like they're diamonds the size of testicles. I got my hand on a couple.
Testicles?
Of tickets. So I just watched the fancy ball. What do you call it? What was the name of that? Shindig. That was the name of the episode. That was Jane's favorite episode. I mean, I like all of them, but like, my favorite one is Janestown because my favorite character is Jane.
Man, they call Jane.
He robbed from the rich and he gave to the poor. Stood up to the man and he gave him what for. Our love for him now ain't hard to explain.
The hero of Canton, the man they call Jane. Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, that was a good fucking show.
It was. I miss it.
Like, I watched it when it first came out, when it was on Fox, because it was... I would make sure that I was off on Friday nights because they had Firefly, Fastlane, and John Doe.
Fastlane with Peter, whatever his last name is.
Yeah, and Bill Bellamy.
Yes,
that was a good.
Bill Bellamy was cooler than I thought he was.
And it was directed by McGee.
Yeah.
It was a really good show.
Peter McFarlane? Is that his last name was? Or Peter Farlane? Farlane? McFarlane?
I don't know. Peter something or other.
John Doe was good, too. I used to watch that. I watched. Yeah. I saw every single episode of that. All, like, you know, 20 of them. It ended
with a cliffhanger.
No shit, it ended with a cliffhanger.
So, did you ever look it up to see what the storyline was? Like, there was actually a storyline that explained everything.
No.
Okay, so, for those of you listening that aren't familiar with it, John Doe starts, the show starts with a guy waking up naked on an island. And he doesn't know his name, he doesn't know anything about himself, but he knows everything else. Everything else about everything in the world, he knows. He knows all of it. And so he kind of like gets, of course, he gets tied up with like the police department and right. helps them solve crimes.
He's like a walking dictionary, a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, and he uses this to like, you know, like he gets a couple bucks and he goes to a horse track and he is able to play and get some money because he, you know, he can guess odds on the horses and stuff like that.
Right.
Because he's a walking
encyclopedia.
Internet, yeah. And then he takes that money, puts it in the stock market. So he's really well off.
Right.
And so he's just basically helping out the police department, helping them solve a different crime or situation every week while at the same time trying to discover about himself.
Yes.
While he's there, he gets to be really good friends with William Forsythe, who owns a bar.
Yeah. Who you might remember from such movies as The Rock and Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
He played Flat Top.
Yes, he did.
He did. That was the first time I'd ever heard of him.
But
he was one of the FBI guys in The Rock.
Yeah, he's a fantastic character actor. You've seen him in tons of shit. Even if you don't know his name, you've seen him. He's awesome. But so they get to be really good friends, and this guy's like helping him out and all this stuff. And you slowly learn that there's this whole secret society trying to keep John Doe from discovering who he is, and you know all these weird machinations. And at the end of the first season, he's chasing this guy that's like the John Doe is chasing this guy who has been putting out orders against him, and he runs down a sewer chasing him, and the guy's like getting out of the sewer, and John Doe grabs him right at the end and pulls him down, and it's William Forsythe.
Yeah,
and you're like
you couldn't see his face up until then, but like he like you know the whatever yeah, it's the always shadow from the back cowl, of the cowl falls off his face or something, and it's like it's revealed it's like his best friend that he's like you know
yeah that he's trusting all this stuff. So here's how it would have gone. The second season starts with you find out that it was not William Forsythe. It was another guy in a mask.
Oh.
So it looked like William Forsythe to fuck with John Doe. So as the second season progresses, or as the series progresses, you find out that he was part of this experiment where they kill you.
Okay.
Right, and let you be dead for a little bit and then bring you back. Because when you die, basically all the knowledge in existence like descends on you, and at that point everything's clear. Oh. And then you go off to heaven or whatever, I don't know, but
right.
So they were working on killing, having people die and then bringing them back so they would retain that knowledge.
Okay.
And so he was like one of the first experiments.
Ah.
And so that's the whole big storyline.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. Because I've thought about the fact that, like, you know, if I died before the next Star Wars movie came out, like, I would never know about it. But I was in heaven or someplace like that, then either I would be in a case where I would be so happy that I wouldn't care, or I would, like, you know, like, suddenly get... Why are you looking at me like this?
Well, I'm thinking that heaven's going to have really nice movie theaters.
Yeah.
Like, if heaven exists, I'm sure God's like, yeah, you want to know about Star Wars? Come on, let's go watch it.
You want to see how it would turn out?
Yeah, I have the original.
Like with original theatrical version, 1977.
And we also have a dunking booth that it's got George Lucas sitting in a dunking booth above a big warm pile of feces. It's molten feces. So it burns, and then he gets poo in his guts. It's terrible. But it heals.
I like how he's up there, but he's not dead yet.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's a turtle. He has it coming. God's a big Star Wars fan. And
I guess timelines wouldn't really matter that much because, like, you know, your soul can be in heaven at the same time you're down here if it's ever supposed to be up there, you know?
Well, I have a feeling if you get to heaven and God's like, you want to know about Star Wars? And you go, no spoilers. He'd be like, all right. Here, you can go watch all the movies and you won't ever get bored or tired. So enjoy yourself. Popcorn's free. But the Cokes are like 50 cents. And you got to cover the cost of the cup.
Right.
You know how it is. And I'm back live. It's not a recording. I mean, it is a recording, but it's not a previous record. It's me. Hello. This was... Yes. Hi. So, yeah. Those are some of my favorite moments from the first 10 episodes. In case you didn't catch it, those were actually the episodes in order. little snippets from each, sometimes a little longer snippets, snappets, whatever. If the editing seemed weird, it's because I did it. So all the bad stuff is completely my fault. James had nothing to do with it. Well, I mean, he was in it, but he didn't. That's why I have a co-host all the time. Anyway, thanks for listening. And if you've been here since the beginning, thanks for hanging around. And if this was your first episode of Dork, welcome aboard. Feel free to go back and dig through all of them. They're all up on the RegStick site. And stay tuned for more. We try and get them up once a week. So with that, I'm Nick Moore. And I'm Nick Moore. And you've been dorked. Catch you later, folks.